You may be seated. Welcome, everyone, to worship today on this Lord's Day. We gather together as God's people to give him praise. And is there no other place better to be than here right now? There are many announcements, look like good announcements for you to know on the back or on the second page of your bulletin. I think one important one to note is that there will be no Bible study this week. So if you are planning on doing that, maybe make other plans and don't come here. There's many other things on the back here, people to pray for. Take this with you through the week. I'm sure that that's what Michael has in mind, and use it to aid you in your devotions through the week. We are here to worship God. So let us rise together and sing the doxology, praise to our Lord.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Would you all please pray with me? Righteous Father, steadfast and faithful Lord, we who seek to dwell in your presence gather here today in the name of the Messiah, your Son, Jesus Christ, to give you praise, to worship you. We lift up our hearts to you, Lord, and we pray that our worship today would be in spirit and truth, that we would be guided by your Holy Spirit as we read your word, as we hear your word preached, that our songs would be pleasing to your ear, and that our prayer would be lifted up in the righteousness of our Savior through the power of your Holy Spirit. We rely on you and you alone for all good things, and so we gather here to give you praise, our Father. We gather in the name of our Savior, but also our High Priest, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our responsive reading is number 611 in the back of our hymnals. 611, a message of comfort from God. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Let us rise and sing hymn number 35. We are gathered here to worship, and we worship because God has called us to do so in his word. And in his word contains the truth that we believe. Let us now confess that truth using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christians, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Father and to the Son.
Please be seated. In this minute for mission, I'll take a moment of personal privilege to once again let you all know how honored we are to be here to worship with you today. You may or may not realize that Port Gibson plays a very special role in our time at seminary. And as we approach graduation in May, God willing, we look back and realize how formative our relationship with y'all have been. Whether you know it or not, you've played a big role in our time, not only in support, but in the opportunity to preach. And we were reflecting this morning, it was almost exactly 2 years ago today that we came here for the first time. It was November 10th, 2019. And here we are, November 7th, 2021, 2 years later, with a lot of time and preparation that has passed. And I shared with Yachna earlier this morning that that coming here and preaching that day was a very pivotal moment in my development personally. We were just moved to Jackson. I had just started seminary. It was my first semester. And this was actually the second congregation that I preached to outside of our youth group at New Covenant in Mandeville. So where Yagna holds the distinction of the first congregation, you all get to hold the distinction of the second congregation. And in preparation for that sermon, I think I prepared about a month for one sermon, which I don't think would be a good thing in ministry to keep up. I know that that Saturday before I preached, I had worked myself up with so much anxiety that I believe I had a migraine headache. And I couldn't see out of my right eye. It was the strangest thing. I thought, how in the world will I read the word and preach if I can't see out of my right eye? And I calmed down on the trip over from Jackson, and it has been a joy to preach ever since then. And so you were the ones to bear the brunt of that first sermon, and I wanted to just let you know that we appreciate you. We appreciate the opportunity and the role that you have played through the providence of God in our formation and training for seminary. So as we move on, we actually will be moving to Monroe, Louisiana, where we have been called as associate pastor. So we're so fortunate to even now look forward to a job and a congregation to serve even before we finished up in seminary. But it all started here in Port Gibson with you all. And so I'm honored to share that with you and appreciative. So praise be to God for his provision and his providence. Amen? Amen. Amen. I got an amen from a Presbyterian congregation. Well, I believe that will conclude our minute for mission today, just with my appreciation and thanks. Let us once again go to God as we sing hymn number 304 together.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name. Set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Tells me what my Father had in store forever. sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
You may be seated. During this time of silent prayer, I would encourage you to consider your week, to consider the end of your week and even this morning. And as we go to God in prayer, let us confess to God privately our sins and our shortcomings and ask for forgiveness as we pray. Let us go to God now in a time of silent prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Father, through the blood of our Savior, through the work of the Holy Spirit, you have opened up to us perfect communion, perfect fellowship, perfect love. In the righteousness of Jesus, we approach you with confidence. We give you thanks for this congregation, these brothers and sisters who gather to worship you today. We give you thanks for the support, for the love, and for your work that you do through each one, building up one another in our faith and serving one another in their needs. Please continue to work through their hands, to give them the honor of serving one another, the honor to love each other as they love themselves. We praise you, Father, for it is with these hands that you build up Christ's church, the body of Christ, for your glory. We thank you for the elders and deacons of this congregation. You have called them, and you have equipped them with gifts. You have blessed them, Father. Pray that you would increase their blessing, that you would magnify their gifts, that they might lead and serve this congregation in the name of Jesus Christ for your glory. Strengthen them, Lord. Be their peace. We thank you for this country. Father, you have given us a place where we might worship you without worry. Now, this has not come without a cost. We thank you for the burden that the families of our soldiers bear when they perish. We pray that through their tragedies, they would come to know you more, to rely on you more in their weakness, and find their strength in our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom there is hope and peace. As we live quiet lives, may our only offense be the offense of the gospel to harden hearts. Open our mouths, Lord, that that gospel is shared, and that their hearts, like ours, might be pierced with the truth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who suffered for our sin, who took our punishment, and in return gave us righteousness. May this congregation be a foundation for this community, reaching out, building up, place in their paths neighbors who need to be bound up in the love of Jesus Christ. We pray and we give you thanks for discipline, even that discipline that is unpleasant for us to bear. For we know that you are building us up, but strengthen our resolve and our faith. Give us assurance and comfort that we might know that you are our good God and the provider of all things that are good. For those who are in the depths, who live in dark times, may the light of Christ shine on them. And may the light of Christ shine on this congregation for your glory now and forevermore. Amen. Our text today is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5, starting with verse 16. One of the reasons that Paul has written this letter to the church in Corinth is that even though he has founded this church and established it and sought to build them up, there have been false apostles that have come to teach in this church, and they seek to discredit Paul's work. They seek to discredit Paul's ministry. And so part of Paul's goal in writing this letter is to defend his ministry, to defend the fact that he is an apostle of Christ. And he does so as he writes of the mission of Christ and shows that it is this very mission of Jesus that Paul takes on himself. And this is what makes Paul a legitimate apostle, one whose teachings the Church of Corinth should certainly listen to. Before we read God's word, would you please pray with me one more time that God might enlighten our eyes and our hearts. Father, we go to your word for truth. I pray that you would open our ears to the truth and shut our ears to false teachings, that you would open our heart and that you would preserve my mouth from any false sayings, that you would be glorified as we hear your word preached and we read your word. Be with us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This ends the reading of God's holy word. You can't squeeze blood from a stone. When pigs fly, the first of never. These are all sayings that convey a sense of impossibility. One would not expect a drop of blood to come from a stone that is squeezed, no matter how hard it is squeezed. I think very few people expect a pig to fly, and I don't know that there are many people that are going to be checking off the first of never on their calendars. These are things that are not likely to happen, and I want to add something to that list today. Today, I want to add righteousness from our works. Just like there is no blood that comes from a stone, there's no righteousness that comes from our works. And so I say to you that in our works, there is no hope. We have no hope in the works that we do. But Paul points us to hope. Paul, in fact, gives us two reasons that we can have hope. Be reconciled to God in Christ and have hope. Have hope as a new creation. And have hope in a new relation. Hope as a new creation. And hope as a new relation. First, hope as a new creation. Verse 16 says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer." Why do we have hope only as a new creation? We can see this in the need for becoming a new creation. And to understand this a little bit more, we need to understand what Paul means when he says, according to the flesh. Scripture talks about the flesh in several different ways. Paul often compares the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. The works of the flesh leading to unrighteousness, and the works of the Spirit leading to righteousness. You have the works of the flesh, and there are laws against many of the works of the flesh. But then you have the fruit of the Spirit. And there's no law against this fruit of the Spirit. So a lot of times when Paul speaks of the flesh and the Spirit, he's talking of righteousness and unrighteousness. But flesh isn't always a bad thing. It's not necessarily bad in itself. We look back in Genesis. God created Adam and Eve on the sixth day. And he looked over his creation, and he said that all was very good. I submit to you that Adam's flesh was part of that creation that was very good. And so we see that flesh on its own is not necessarily evil. Jesus further helps us understand this when he says that the flesh is of no help, but it's the Spirit that gives life. Well, if we look at Adam, we know that he was created from the dust, and God breathed his life, his Spirit, into him. And so we see that man is both flesh and spirit. And as we understand from Jesus, it is the flesh and the Spirit. That's where the life comes from. And so Paul here, he says that he worked according to the flesh. So the problem is not the flesh. The problem is the lack of the Spirit. In our rebellion and in our sin, our spirit is dead. Our spirit is completely ineffective. And so we are left only with the unhelpful flesh. And as we work in this unhelpful flesh, we work to unrighteousness instead of righteousness, no matter what we do. A good example of this is Paul himself, as he, in his early life, studied under the best teachers. He studied the Scripture the hardest. He worked the hardest. He was the most zealous for his religion. It was this religion that Paul sought to glorify God in, that Paul sought his righteousness in. There was no one that topped Paul as a Pharisee, a Jew of Jews, a Pharisee of Pharisees. But at that time, Paul worked only according to the flesh. Now let's look at the results of this. As Paul worked hard as he could, as Paul excelled according to the flesh, what did he do? He started throwing God's people into prison. He started persecuting the people of Christ. He even oversaw murder. You see, as Paul worked harder and harder in the flesh, he became more and more unrighteous, even though a lot of those things seemed like good things. Studying the scripture, being religious. But the fruit of that was actually murder. Murder is not righteous. So as Paul worked according to the flesh, he was unable to achieve this righteousness. In fact, he had no hope to be righteous as he worked according to the flesh. So we see that there's a problem. And this problem needs to be fixed. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It's in becoming this new creation that we see the solution. That's the solution to working according to the flesh. It's becoming a new creation in Christ. When Paul says, from now on, he refers to his trip to Damascus. When he's on the Damascus road and Jesus himself appears in his glory and reveals the gospel to Paul. It was at that point that Paul was struck blind. But it was also at that point that Paul began to see the truth of the gospel. It was at that point that Paul believed in Jesus Christ. Paul became in Christ. And so it was at that point that Paul became a new creation. And he no longer regarded things according to the flesh. Why? Because he was a new creation. And now he could regard things according to the Spirit. Now notice it doesn't say anyone is in Christ is fixed. He's a fixed creation. It says that he's a new creation. The necessity for this new creation can be understood in a bowl of gumbo. Now it's getting colder, and in the Cheatwood household, when it gets cold, we eat gumbo. And I might say Allie makes a fine gumbo, even though she's from Long Beach, California. And as you make a gumbo, you need a roux. If you've had gumbo before, you know that it has a nice, rich brown color. You know that it has a nice kind of nutty flavor. It thickens the gumbo. It has a lot of things that it's supposed to do, this roux. And if you've ever made a roux, you know that as the roux gets darker, as it gets closer to perfection, it becomes easier to scorch the roux and burn it. Well, once that roux is scorched, there is nothing that you can do to fix that roux. It is ruined. It no longer thickens your gumbo. It no longer brings a pleasant flavor to your gumbo. And it leaves all these little black flecks in your gumbo. It's not nice to look at. And you can't simply pick out the scorched roux. You have to throw it out and start all over. New flour, new fat, and start the process again. You see, we're kind of like that roux. The roux, once it's scorched, is unable to do what it's designed to do. And human beings, too, in sin, once that spirit is dead, are unable to do the things that we are designed to do, which is to glorify God. That is our righteousness, is when we are glorifying God. That is what, as creatures of the Creator, we are to do. But in a state of sin, we're like that roux, unable to do. And so we must become a new creation. Christians are not made new creations using flour and fat. Christians are made a new creation in Christ, in Jesus Christ, our Savior. So you can see Now, the need for a new creation and how that happens through faith in Christ. Now, I wonder, because it's easy for us to rely on the things that we do, but I wonder how many of us strive hard every day to show God that we are good. God, we are good enough to get into heaven. I go to Sunday school. I go to church every week and worship. I sing all the hymns. I study my scripture. I'm a Christian of Christians. Well, take stock and make sure that you don't rely on that for your salvation. Because then you may be like Paul, who was a Pharisee of Pharisees. It is only in Christ that we become new creations, and only in Him that we glorify God. All of those things are good. Please worship every week, all the time. Read your scripture. Pray to God. Those are wonderful and good things that God calls us to do, but they don't give us righteousness. There's no hope for righteousness in doing, except for our faith in Christ. Only in Him is there hope. So we can find hope as a new creation, as we are reconciled to God in Christ. The second way that Paul tells us we can find hope is in a new relation. So we've become a new creation, and as such, we now have a new relationship. And I will propose to you that this is the relationship of the Son. Verse 18 says, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." God is reconciling all of His people through Christ. It's this reconciliation that points to a new relationship. Before faith in Christ, we stand before God as sinners, as unrighteous sinners before a holy God, staring down the barrel of judgment. But as we're reconciled to God, that's no longer our relationship to God, but relationship of beloved Son to Holy Father. So we have a new relationship of the Son, and this is a relationship of righteousness. 19 says, "In Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them." This is why we stand righteous before God, because God no longer counts our trespasses against us as new creations in Christ. And He doesn't simply dismiss them. He doesn't just ignore them, but He lays them on the shoulders of Christ on the cross. Verse 21 says, "For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." As our sins are placed on the shoulder of Jesus Christ, we become the righteousness of God. So you see, as new creations, with this new reconciled relationship of the Son, now we have hope and righteousness. Because this is a relationship of righteousness. But it's also a relationship of responsibility. We have the relationship of the Son, and we have the responsibility of the Son. Again, verse 19, "In Christ God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." So we've become new creations. We now have a new relation to our God, the relationship of Son to Father. And now we have the responsibility of the Son in addition to the righteousness of the Son. Because this is our relationship to God now. Righteous, obedient Son to holy and loving Father. Jesus said that He came to do the will of the Father. And He said that the will of the Father is that all who look on the Son and believe but have eternal life. That was the mission of the obedient Son, Jesus, when he was here on this earth. Well, Paul shows us now that those who are new creations in Christ, that is now our responsibility. Now, I know there's a lot going on. I know there's new creation. I know that we have a new relationship that's a relationship of righteousness and responsibility, and it's all a lot to understand. But think about it this way. If you have a citizen, they have a certain relationship to the law. The expectation of a citizen is that they're obedient to the law. That's their relationship. Now, let's say that citizen wants to become a police officer. Goes to the police academy, he gets his training, he graduates from the police academy, and he's sworn to be an officer of the law to protect and serve. Now he's like a new creation. No longer is he simply a citizen, but he's an officer of the law. And his responsibility has changed as well. Not just one of obedience, but enforcement. In fact, if a police officer doesn't enforce the law, we start to think that something might be wrong. That's injustice, isn't it? Before, when he was simply a citizen, we might think it's strange for him to enforce the law as just a citizen. And, you know, some people may even call him a vigilante. But as a police officer, now he has this responsibility and this new relationship to the law, not only obedience, but also enforcement. And so as we have a new relationship to God, the relationship of Jesus Christ to the Father, we now have new expectations, just like that police officer. Paul's very clear what these expectations are, that those who are a new creation in Christ would carry out that same mission of Christ. You see, it pleased God before as Jesus walked this earth. It pleased him then to reconcile his people through Jesus, through the work that Jesus did. And it pleases God even now to reconcile his lost people through Jesus, through the body of Jesus, his church. Right now, in our hands and in our hearts, we are to carry on the very work that Jesus carried on 2,000 years ago, that same mission of reconciliation. It's always in Christ. It's always in Christ. Jesus came and proclaimed, "I am the way of life." He came and proclaimed, "I am the bread of life, and I am the way." There's a difference, though. We differ slightly in this relationship because we don't proclaim that we are the way or that we are the bread of life, but we proclaim that he is the way and he is the bread of life. The only way to become a new creation and to have hope is through Jesus. We proclaim a message slightly different than he. Because we are not transformed into many messiahs, but we are transformed into ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors. Verse 20 says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us." God makes his appeal through us as ambassadors who speak the message of Christ, who speak with the authority of Christ. That is a heavy load to carry. That is a heavy expectation. But it's the expectation that Paul sets out for those who are a new creation. If you call yourself a Christian today, I am not here to doubt you. I'm not here to call you to doubt yourself. But I humbly ask you to take stock. Take stock and see, has there been this mission of reconciliation in your life? Now, it's not going to look like Paul. Paul was a special person with a special call to pretty much found the church that we're a part of today, 2,000 years later. That may not be our call, but our call may be to give someone a ride who needs a ride. And as they talk, and as the opportunity arises, we share with them the message of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we see someone who's maybe stranded on the road, and we help them change the tire, they say, "Why are you helping me?" I say, "Because I think you're put in my path, so I can share with you the message of Jesus Christ." There can be many small ways that God blesses us with opportunity to carry on this work. It may not be obvious. And if you are sure that you're a Christian, but you don't see these things, then pray to God that He would open your eyes to these events in your life, that He would bring people into your life, that you might share this message in obedience. Because it's a wonderful thing to share the gospel to the lost. Now, if you don't call yourself a Christian this morning, then I stand before you, just as Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, as an ambassador of the Messiah, the ambassador of the one who will bring all things to an end, Jesus Christ, who sits now at the right hand of the Father. Be reconciled to God. If you are not reconciled to God, you have no hope. But find hope and be reconciled to God in Christ. Find hope as a new creation as you believe in the Son. And find hope in your new relationship of righteousness and obedience with a good and loving Father. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we go out at the start of this week, we pray that you would put those in our path that we might share, even in small ways, the message of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would open our eyes to this work, this mission of reconciliation, so that we might give you praise for the blessings that you give us. That we might praise you for shaping us and using us as instruments of your kingdom that is to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us rise and sing hymn number 313.
My hope is built on Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Darkness veils his lovely face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Trust in his righteousness alone, call us to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Hear the words of the author of Hebrews, the benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.